No audio.
Come,
there it is.
Come, come.
Circle round for freedom. Circle round for peace. For all of us imprisoned. Circle for release. Circle for the planet. Circle for each soul. For the children of our children. Keep the circle round for freedom, circle round for peace, for all of us imprisoned, circle for release, circle for the planet, circle for each soul, for the children children, keep the circle whole. Circle round for freedom, circle round for peace, for all of us imprisoned, circle for release, circle for the planet, circle for each soul, for the children of our children, keep the circle
We are going, heaven knows where we are going. We know within, and we will get there. Heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will. Whoa, yeah, yeah. Whoa, yeah, yeah. Whoa, yeah, yeah. Whoa, yeah, yeah.
Keep your heart wide open, though the waves wanna push you around. You gotta keep your heart wide open till your faith brings you back to solid ground. I'm gonna keep.
I'm gonna keep
my heart.
I'm gonna keep
wide open.
I'm gonna keep my heart wide open.
Though these waves wanna push, me around.
Though the waves wanna push me around.
I'm gonna keep.
I'm gonna keep
my heart.
I'm gonna keep
wide open.
I'm gonna keep my heart wide open.
Till my faith brings me back, to solid ground.
Till my faith brings me back to solid ground.
We gotta keep, our heart.
We gotta keep
wide open.
We gotta keep our hearts wide open.
Though these waves
wanna put,
us around.
Though these waves wanna keep,
don't you know
around.
We gotta keep, our heart.
We gotta keep
wide open till our faith, brings us back, to solid ground.
Till our faith brings us back to solid ground.
Good morning. Welcome to First Unitarian Church. I'm Angela Herrera, the senior minister here, and this is Bring a Friend Sunday. If this is your first time here today, a special welcome to you. If you are back today for the first time in a long time because somebody reached out to you, welcome back. And if you had no idea that this was Bring a Friend Sunday, we're really glad you're here too. Welcome to everybody. It's good to be together this morning on this, approximately the 3,700th Sunday since this congregation was begun back in the 1940s, and with it, a mission of honoring diverse spiritual paths while serving together for the greater good. This is a church where, as we like to say, we need not think alike to love alike. I'm joined this morning by our associate minister, the Reverend Bob LaValle, by our music director, Susan Peck, lay leader, Casey Spivey, and the wonderful tech team who are working behind the scenes. May this hour we share inspire, encourage, and strengthen us, and may it be of service to the love that holds all. Casey's going to start us off with some announcements.
Welcome to all. There are two announcements. In this congregation, we know that we are stronger together. The annual pledge drive has begun, and you should have received an email with directions on how to pledge. To keep everyone safe, we're doing our pledge drive online this year. So instead of getting a big paper packet in the mail, you can pledge at your website. We thank you in advance for your support. And secondly, are you a newcomer to First Unitarian? Or would you like to help greet our newcomers? After worship, you are invited to join our Director of Membership and Communications and the Membership Committee for New to First U. Come meet new people and ask questions about our community. Everyone, new or not, is welcome to stop by and join us for this short, informal chat.
Good morning. Please join me this morning in lighting your own chalice or candle at home while I light the chalice from our sanctuary with words from the Reverend Dr. Orlando Brugnola, artist and Unitarian Universalist minister. Flame, friend, try that again. Flame, friend of our most ancient ancestors, we kindle you now to make you visible in this time. Yet in truth, you burn always in the unique worth of each person, in the imagination, in the turning of the heart to sorrow or joy, in the call to hope and in the call to justice. Burn bright before us, burn bright within us. Friends, will you please join Linda Chase and me in singing our opening songs? I'll place the words in the chat box. Though our hymnal follows the practice of using the opening line of each hymn as its title, When I Am Frightened, the composer, Shelley Jackson Denham, writing this song for her children's choir, called her hymn by its teaching, Then I May Learn.
Sing to me quietly. Hi, I'm Lisa Johnson.
And I'm Jacob Johnson.
We are
Unitarian Universalists.
We are people of faith
with open minds, loving hearts, and helping hands.
Good morning. I'm Ian Noren, the Director of Religious Education. I'm going to talk this morning about friendship. This month's theme is deep listening, and I think the two things, friendship and deep listening, are related. My good friends tend to be people who really listen to me and see me for who I am. Have you ever tried to make friends with someone who simply can't hear you, doesn't get you, maybe even talks only about themselves? Well, that makes building a friendship very hard. But when you come across someone who hears you, sees who you are through your words and actions, that's different, isn't it? They are very easy to be friends with. In our times, our friendships are mostly based on in-person interactions. Well, that changed rather quickly, didn't it? People have been lonely and sad without the in-person time that they were used to, but people are also resilient. Many have figured out ways to get around that. What's worked for you? Do you use Zoom or another platform to talk with your friends online? Do you call or text each other with your phone? Do you meet outside using acceptable social distancing practices? I still do something that's very old-fashioned. I send letters to my friends. Have you ever written a letter to someone? It's a little like writing in a diary or a journal. The act of sitting down and thinking deeply about what you want the other person to know, and then writing it out, creates a letter that is like a window into your soul. And even though my letter doesn't talk, my friend has received a piece of me that helps them to feel close to me. Letters don't have to be long, just thoughtful. You might want to try it. Getting a letter in the mail is a wonderful experience. Our story today is about how we are all connected, even when we're at great distances from one another. The Invisible String by Patrice Karst, with illustrations by Jeff Stevenson. Liza and Jeremy, the twins, were asleep one calm and quiet night. Suddenly, it began to rain very hard. Thunder rumbled until it got so loud that it woke them up. "Mommy, Mommy," they cried out as they ran to her. "Don't worry, you two. It's just the storm making all that noise. Go back to bed." "We want to stay close to you," said Jeremy. "We're scared." Mom said, "You know we're always together no matter what." "But how can we be together when you're out here and we're in bed?" asked Liza. Mom held something right in front of them and said, "This is how." Rubbing their sleepy eyes, the twins came closer to see what Mom was holding. "I was about your age when my mommy first told me about the invisible string." "I don't see a string," said Jeremy. "You don't need to see the invisible string. People who love each other are always connected by a very special string made of love. Even though you can't see it with your eyes, you can feel it with your heart and know that we are always connected to everyone we love. When you're at school and you miss me, your love travels all the way along the string until I feel it tug on my heart. And when you tug it back, right back, we feel it in our hearts," said Jeremy. "Does Jasper the cat have an invisible string?" Liza asked. "She sure does," said Mom. "And best friends like me and Lucy?" "Yes." "How far can the string reach?" "Anywhere and everywhere." if you were a submarine captain or a mountain climber, a ballerina in France, a jungle explorer, even an astronaut in space. Then Jeremy quietly asked, can the string reach all the way to Uncle Brian in heaven? Yes, even there. Whatever we think about what happens after death, you know love never dies. Does the string go away when you're mad at us? Never, said Mom. Love is stronger than anger, and as long as love is in your heart, the string will always be there. Even when you got older and can't agree on things like what movies to see or who gets to ride in the front seat or what time to go to bed, oh, you two should be in bed. Within a few minutes, they were in bed and asleep, even though the storm was still making loud noises outside. As they slept, they started dreaming of all the invisible strings they have and all the strings their friends have and their friends have and their friends have until everyone in the world was connected by invisible strings. And from deep inside, they now could clearly see that no one is ever alone.
Let's pause the chat for a few moments during the meditation and then the prayer. Ours is a meditating church. Last year, this congregation shared in a ritual in which we were given post-it notes and we wrote on them our primary spiritual practices. And I went through all of them, there were hundreds, and the most common answer was meditation. So whether we meditate together in our group meditation practices or individually in our own homes, many folks in this congregation draw on these moments of focused quiet to try and tap into our sources of resilience and the holy, however it is that we define the holy. So I invite you now to make yourself comfortable. Turn your attention to your breath. Don't try to control it. Don't try to change it. Just watch it. And then look for the places in your body where the breathing shows up. Where do you feel yourself breathing? Where do you feel your breath happening? And now thoughts will arise, which of course they will and always will. Things like shopping lists and plans for the day and reflections on the past. Don't try to stop your thoughts. They're gonna keep coming. Just take a look at them and take note. Say, oh, I'm thinking. And then let them go. I like to picture a leaf on a stream floating away from me. Those thoughts just floating away from me like a leaf on a stream. If it's helpful to you, count your breaths. In one, out two, in three, and so on. If you get to 10, go back to one and start counting again. And if you find your mind flowing down that river with all those thought leaves, just stop and gently, I emphasize gently, return your attention to your breath and begin counting again. It's a process of starting over and over and over. In that spirit, let's sit in silence for 2 minutes.
we come to our time of sharing joys and concerns. These woven events unfold in our lives, personally, in our varied communities, and the larger world. Holding these moments together gives us an opportunity to support one another along our journeys of care and growth. Please use the chat bar for this sharing. If you are not able to write in a chat bar, please contact the church office or send an email to caring@uuabq.org. Again, caring@uuabq.org. Let us know what's on your heart. First, now, share your joys, followed by concerns as prompted on your screen.
Breathe in, I'll breathe in peace when
When we share our joys and concerns with this gathered community, we journey together, share our celebrations and multiply the joy, and we support each other with the burdens that we carry, dividing the concerns. Today we see many joys and many concerns, joys for friends who listen, and joy for Jim Palmer's new granddaughter, joy for Mabon ceremony that happened last night, and just joy for this gathered community and for dogs and the great weather and for family. And we have so many concerns, a deep concern for the future of this country, and concerns for the wildfires and the hurricanes and the smoke, and the way that we so understand that we are all connected in this climate, in this tiny planet. We also lift up all those joys and concerns held in our hearts, unspoken, but no less deeply felt. All these we lift up to the powers of celebrations, healing, and renewal known by many names. Unitarian Universalism is a non-creedal faith, meaning that we can each individually make our own decisions about the nature of the divine. So atheists and agnostics and theists sit together in our virtual pews, and that is a source of strength and creativity for us. And we can all still pray together, each in our own way. The Unitarian Universalist minister, Reverend Lon Ray Call, says that prayer doesn't change things. Prayer changes people, and people change things. In that spirit, we pray together now. We lift up Dixie Cole, who passed this last week, a former congregant at First Unitarian. May light perpetual shine upon her. And we lift up Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who also passed this week. In 1947, Justice Ginsburg wrote an essay at the end of World War II, and this is a prayerful part of what she wrote. She wrote, "We must try to understand that for righteous people, hate and prejudice are neither good occupations nor fit companions." Rabbi Alfred Bettelheim once said, "Prejudice saves us a painful trouble, the trouble of thinking." We're part of a world whose unity has been almost completely shattered. No one can feel free from danger and destruction until the many torn threads of civilization are bound together again. We cannot feel safer until every nation, regardless of weapons or power, will meet together in good faith, the people worthy of mutual association. There can be a happy world, and there will be once again, when people create a strong bond towards one another, a bond unbreakable by studied prejudice or a passing circumstance. The words of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, may light perpetual shine upon her, and may her memory inspire us to work for a more just and caring world. We pray for this country as the future of democracy lies in peril. May the powers of justice and the rule of law prevail. And may the United States become a place where the most vulnerable among us are protected. On this Rosh Hashanah weekend, we celebrate the new year and the possibility of growth and healing for all of us. We pray to resist cynicism, knowing that cynicism gives power to those who seek to silence our voices. May we never cease to act on our values. We give thanks for our friendships, the ones that sustain and affirm us. And we remember all those who are feeling lonely. May we know that we are never alone, never truly alone, while we are held in the hearts of this congregation. And may we all be held in this heart of love. Amen and blessed be, and peace be with you.
You're down and trouble, and you need some love and care, and nothing, oh, nothing is going right. Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there. Brighten up even your darkest night. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you have to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you grows dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call my name out loud, and soon I'll be knocking upon your door. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running, oh yeah, baby, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you gotta do is call. And I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now ain't it good to know that you've got a friend? 'Cause people can be so cold. They'll hurt you and desert you. They'll take your soul if you let them. Oh yeah, but don't you let them. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running, oh yeah, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you have to do is call. Be there, yes I will. You've got a friend. You've got a friend. Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Oh yeah, you've got a friend.
Thanks, Laura and Susan. That was very moving. Our reading today is by James Cruz. Self-compassion. My friend and I snickered the first time we heard the meditation teacher, a grown man, call himself Honey, with a hand placed over his heart to illustrate how we too might become more gentle with ourselves and our runaway minds. It's been years since we sat with legs twisted on cushions, holding back our laughter. And today, I found myself crouched on the floor again, not meditating exactly, just agreeing to be still, saying honey to myself. Each time I thought about my husband splayed on the couch with aching joints and fever from a tick bite. What if he never gets better? Or considered the mess of the next election? Or remembered in just a few more minutes, I'd have to climb down into the cellar and empty the bucket I left beneath a leaky pipe that can't be fixed until next week. How long do any of us really have before the body begins to break down and empty its mysteries into the air? Oh, honey, I said. For once, without a trace of irony or blush of shame, the touch of my own hand on my chest, like that of a stranger, oddly comforting in spite of the facts.
That was Self-Compassion by James Cruz. So our last Bring a Friend Sunday was the Sunday before the pandemic shut everything down, March 8th. There had definitely already been something going around. We'd stopped shaking hands in church and we'd set out a hand sanitizer station, but we didn't know anything about airborne transmission or stay-at-home orders or social distancing. Oh my gosh, we just didn't know. This year has been unlike any other, and it was hard to imagine how things were about to change. Can you imagine Bring a Friend Sunday on March 8th, 2020? On the other hand, friendship could not be more important right now. So maybe it's just right that the last time we were together in person, it was also the day to bring a friend. Having friends is really helpful when we're going through something difficult. And that might sound obvious, but there's a vivid example from a scientific study that was done in 2008. In the study, researchers positioned themselves at the bottom of a steep hill, and they invited passersby to volunteer to participate. The passersby were asked to put on a backpack that weighed about 20% of their body weight, so pretty hefty. And then they were asked to guess how steep the hill was that was right there in front of them. The hill had a 26-degree grade. For comparison, that's more than twice as steep as the average grade of the La Luz Trail here in Albuquerque, which is known for being pretty steep. You can imagine that having been asked if they would participate in the study and then asked to put on the backpack and then asked to estimate the steepness of the hill, they probably expected that they were going to be asked to climb it next, but they weren't. The researchers just wanted to see how accurately the participants would guess the hill's steepness, especially in light of the unspoken idea that they might have to climb it. One of the ways people were asked to show the steepness was by putting their dominant hand on a palm board and then adjusting it to match the slant of the hill in their estimation. Some of the people who participated were alone. Others had happened to walk by with a friend, in which case both friends participated. And the results? People who were there alone estimated that the hill was steeper than people who were there with a friend. People with a friend thought the hill didn't look that steep. The presence of a friend changed how participants perceived it. And the longer the friends had known each other, the less steep the hill looked to them. We have had some hills to climb in 2020, haven't we? And we've still got miles to go. Other studies have shown that friendships help us live longer, healthier lives. There's been lots of news stories saying that being married is good for health and longevity, but in fact, friendship has an even bigger impact on our health outcomes than marital status does. All of this is true. And meanwhile, many people in the United States report that they are short on friends and on friendship and friendly support. There's been a lot of reporting over the last decade on the loneliness epidemic in America. In January this year, the health insurer Cigna published a report sharing that 61% of American adults say that they are lonely. That was before the pandemic led to social distancing. We often think of loneliness as being especially common among older adults, but actually the opposite may be true. Time magazine published an article with some of those statistics back in April. And these numbers come from people reporting how they felt back in 2019, so also pre-pandemic. For 2019, 38% of people in the so-called silent generation, people over 72, reported feeling lonely. I say so-called because whenever I turn out at a justice march or a rally, that generation always shows up and they're anything but silent. 38% of people in that age group reported feeling lonely. That's pretty high. But then 50% of boomers said that they were lonely. That's people aged 52 to 71, 50%. So that's even higher. And then the numbers keep going up as you go down the age scale. And by the time you get to adults in Gen Z, adults who are ages 18 to 22, 79% said that they were lonely. It was highest among the youngest adults, but it was widespread in every age group. So here's something I hope you'll take away from the service today. If you often feel lonely, or if you have found it hard to make friends, it doesn't mean that you've done something wrong or that something's wrong with you. A lot of other people also feel that way. Another thing that happens is that people report feeling lonely even when they're with other people. Why do we sometimes, or perhaps often, feel lonely in a crowd? We may feel even lonelier in a crowd than when we are alone because we might have had an expectation or a hope, maybe unconsciously, that we would feel connected with others. But being together is not the same as being connected. And then in that crowd, we might see others who are connected or they seem like they're connected, and then comparing our sense of disconnect to that can amplify our feelings of loneliness. But if you experience that feeling, now you know that statistically, there's a pretty big percentage of the people there probably feeling just as lonely as you. All this talk about the value of friendship and how lonely everyone seems to feel makes me wonder what everybody actually means by friends. Like, what is a friend? The word friend is kind of like the word love. It's used for many, many things that are so distinct they should probably each have their own word. The kids you played hide and go seek with when you were little, friends. A person you used to be in a romantic relationship with, but with whom you are now merely amicable, friend. We receive letters from nonprofit organizations that start with dear friend. People in a book club, friends. Two people who've known each other for 50 years, who attended the births of each other's children and carried each other through seasons of grief and who've laughed and cried and shared the most intimate truths of their lives with each other, friends. Someone you never call and you only see every few years, but when you do, you pick right back up where you left off and that's delightful, friend. Someone you've met once who networks with you on a social media platform, friend. The lack of words for different kinds of friendship becomes even more problematic when the concept of friendship is idealized and romanticized in ways that don't apply to all friends. It can leave us wondering if we have any real friends. Check out this quote from an article about friendship in Parabola magazine in the early 2000s. The article says, "We've talked so much that there is nothing we do not know about each other, yet there is always something to say. It is always being said, and afterward, neither of us can remember who said it. When we speak, even when it is the intimate expression of a deep personal experience, we are a single voice. Nothing is between us. We are simply present. We always meet as if for the first time, without dependence of past, strangers even, but with an uncanny essential kinship. It is as if we have died, and death, the abyss that separated us, across which we struggled to communicate, has disappeared." Those are some pretty high standards for the word friend. I don't think very many human relationships can quite live up to that. When couples come to me for premarital counseling, there's a little relationship inventory I like to do with them. And one set of questions, and it has to do with whether they are overly idealizing marriage. Do they think they'll always be as head over heels in love with their person as they are right now? Do they believe nothing could ever cause them to question their love for one another? Do they say that nothing could ever drive them apart? Yes? Hold up, grasshoppers. That is not what marriage between living human beings is like. And if you hold it to an impossible standard, you're probably not going to like being married very much. Likewise, if we hold friendship to an impossible standard, then the belief might cause us to feel unhappy. That belief, that standard, might cause us to feel unhappy or to worry that something is wrong with us or with our friends. If we believe friendship must entail a certain kind of perfect intimacy or it doesn't count, we might perceive ourselves as friendless, when in reality, there are many kinds of friends. Nourishing friendships come in many different forms, and one doesn't have to be the be-all, end-all. The writer Mia Mingus shared some powerful words this week about friendship. And her words don't idealize a particular form of friendship, but her comments still acknowledge that we are lacking the language and the art to convey friendship's power and diversity. Mingus is a writer as well as a community educator for transformative justice and disability justice. She wrote, "Wish we embraced falling in friendship love and the magic of friendship love in general. It really is such a magnificent kindred soul-shifting experience that can manifest in so many wonderfully different ways. It truly deserves its own genre of art, movies, TV, writing, music. Wish we had more vocabulary to talk about our friendships. Wish we didn't relegate friendship to the binary of either lover, partner, or friend. Ugh," she writes, "it's so limiting and does not do justice to the complexity of friendships and the love we feel for and with our friends. My friends have saved my life," she says. "They've been there for me in some of my most darkest and joyful times. They have romanced me and I them. They are not layovers between partners slash lovers. They are not side dishes to the main dish. They occupy such an important part of what love is and can be. They don't diminish other forms of love. They enhance them. They are a unique kind of home, especially for me as a queer, disabled, adoptee, woman of color, survivor." And then, because not every friendship is an eternal kinship across the abyss of death, Mingus goes on to also talk about friendship breakups. She names the pain those can cause us and the lack of language or art to express it. I know exactly what she means. The biggest breakups of my life have been friendship breakups, where we went from being intimate friends to just friends. And I, who put words to things for a living, could not find the language to describe that loss. What we can't find language for, we will struggle to understand. So it is too, I think, that we can have many different kinds of friends and potential friends all around us, and we can still experience an uncomfortable sense of disconnection and loneliness. This is a deeply spiritual matter. The pain of loneliness is an existential pain. It's linked with our sense of meaning, resilience, and self-worth. So how can we develop more nourishing connections with the friends we have and even make some new ones? That's what I want to spend the rest of our time reflecting on in this message. First of all, we must accept that we ourselves are friend material. Remember what I said about if you've been lonely or if you've struggled to make friends, that it doesn't mean that something's wrong with you? Remember that. The reading we heard today, Self-Compassion by James Cruz, describes so sweetly how we can befriend not just other people, but also ourselves. "Oh, honey," he says to himself as he frets over his husband's health and a leaky pipe and the fact of his own mortality. "Oh, honey." And who wouldn't want to be friends with him after reading that poem? So give yourself a break, hun. And then I think our search for friendship itself might be a little bit like trying to pin down the soul. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. I'm thinking of soul the way that the poet Wisława Szymborska talks about souls in one of her poems. "We all have a soul at times," she writes. "Joy and sorrow aren't two different feelings for it. It attends us only when the two are joined. We can count on it when we are sure of nothing and curious about everything." She makes the soul sound shy. When joy and sorrow are joined in us, as she puts it, that's a place of depth and realness. Friendship also deepens where we are present to life's realness. It grows when we share authentically of ourselves, about our joys and sorrows and other things that matter to us. And Szymborska's words, "We can count on it when we're sure of nothing and curious about everything," those words remind me of how rare it is that we make an instant friend in life. More often, we don't know who will move from acquaintance to friend or how long that will take. We're uncertain. It takes a long time to make an old friend. But one thing that helps foster friendship is our genuine curiosity. Curiosity about others, not in the sense of interrogating them, but of being interested in them, open to who they might be and what they might share, and with a sense of wonder rather than judgment. The Greater Good Science Center in Berkeley made the news when they shared a set of 36 questions that studies have shown can bring two people closer together. The headlines about it said things like how to fall in love with anyone, but it's really not just for romantic couples. Taking turns answering these questions is an engaging way to connect with new or old friends too. I'll put a link to the questions in the chat box after the sermon. And you can always find links to things in the text versions of sermons, which go onto the church website within a few days after the service. So back to this soul analogy, another writer, Alvin Moore Jr., talks about the soul in this way. He says, "The soul is not known by the soul. Such a feat would be like hearing itself, or sight seeing itself." This suggests that the soul is more properly understood as a verb, that for a soul to know itself would be a soul souling itself. Friend should probably also be understood as a verb. Instead of focusing on acquiring friends and trying to define who is and isn't one, we could then focus on friending. This allows the connections you have with a particular person or people to just be what it is. Let the connection just be what it is without the seemingly black and white categories of friend and not friend or real friend and friend. Of course, we have to stay flexible and creative in order to practice friending during the pandemic. When socially distanced visits in pairs or small groups aren't possible, technology allows us to stay in touch, but it's still missing some of the things that usually make our interactions with friends nourishing. One researcher refers to most Zoom chats and phone calls as social snacking because they lack some of the aspects of interpersonal connection that are most nourishing. They leave us still hungry, or in other words, kind of lonely. That's why she calls it social snacking. So what are the things that are missing, though? In many cases, what's missing is shared experience. This is a loss for people of all genders, but studies suggest it might be especially hard on the connection between men who are friends. Friendships between men tend to depend more on connection being built through the experience of shared activities than women's friendships do. These gender categories from research are clunky, but maybe this information is useful for putting a frame around something you're experiencing. If you know that this extended time of social distancing may diminish your connection with friends, what can you do to renew those connections? It's possible to create shared experiences remotely. And I wonder, what are some of the creative ways you've thought of to share an experience? I invite you to list them in the chat box if you'd like to. What about chopping and packaging your roasted green chili if you live in New Mexico, or carving Halloween pumpkins together on a video call? Or the other day, my husband and I ate dinner with a couple of friends over video. We got takeout from the same restaurant, and then as we shared a meal prepared by the same cook, we enjoyed the kind of informal banter that organically happens when you're just hanging out. And how about making new friends? In this time, we're experiencing far fewer interactions with what sociologists refer to as weak ties. I wish they would call them loose connections instead of weak ties because it sounds more positive. But in sociology, weak ties are people that you're friendly with, but who you may not consider a friend, at least not yet. Some weak ties eventually become our friends. But we can still practice friending right now, even though we aren't having as many interactions like that. You can make the most of the ones you do have by making an intentional effort to just briefly connect when you see them. You can also create virtual spaces to hang out with people you might not know well. Some of our congregation's zip code groups have hosted happy hours on Zoom that totally fit this bill. Or you can join an ongoing small group at church for a chance to have regular interactions and get to know others. I hope one thing we'll learn from the COVID era is that we don't have to be together to be connected. Social distancing is really a misnomer. In COVID, what we need is physical distancing, not social distancing. Here's an interesting fact. After an initial increase in loneliness after the pandemic began, later studies showed that loneliness leveled off again. And I think this is because the pandemic has normalized conversations about loneliness. It has made it easier to say, I'm lonely. And this opens a door for people, so many of whom are also lonely, to connect. I've got one more thing to say, and this is important. If you are lonely and you're feeling stuck and you just aren't sure what to do about it, the church can help with that too. A good place to start is the care team, and you can reach them by emailing caring@uuabq.org. There's also a link on our church website. You just click connect at the top of the homepage and then look for the Caring Network in the drop-down menu. There are still some hills for us to tackle, but nobody has to do it alone.
Our invitation now is to share our offerings. This quarter's Change for the Future recipient is Roadrunner Food Bank, a longtime partner of First UU's food pantry. Roadrunner is the largest food bank in the state. They play a major role in distributing a variety of donated and purchased food items to people struggling to cover all their nutritional needs. You can make an offering online by clicking on the link that we'll put in the chat box or by sending a check to the church office. We will now take up these offerings for the work of the church and the work of this church in the community. Thank you.
Today's offertory music is our Chalice Choir's latest virtual choir project, On the Day We Are Together Again, a new hymn for the time of pandemic, written in an old style by musician Siri Undlin, who records under the name Humbird. When I wrote to her for permission to use the song, she wrote back saying she was happy to share it and hoped it would help people find comfort. She also sent wishes from Minnesota for rain in New Mexico. This is On the Day We Are Together Again.
On the day we are together again, on the day we are together again, I will pull you in close like a hoop with no end. On the day we are together again, we will share.
What is generously given is received with gratitude. Thank you on behalf of First Unitarian Church of Albuquerque and the Roadrunner Food Bank. We're approaching the end of the service, and we're inviting folks to stay. We're inviting folks to stay in their small, to stay after the service and join us in the small breakout rooms. And one possible question for discussion is some deeper exploration of this idea that there are many different kinds of friendship. Probably like snow, it deserves 27 different words instead of just one. So I invite people to discuss what are some of the types of friendship that they've experienced in their lives? What are some of the different ways that friendship has shown up?
As we extinguish our chalices to close this service, we carry the flame in our hearts into the world. That flame is the call to hope and the call to justice. May it burn bright within us. Go in peace, my friends.
Circle round for free.